Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, October sometime. What is the date today? October 3rd, 2002. It is, excuse me, 2:02. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a legal counsel update. We've got a couple of items, and then we'll go into executive session. Item number four. Item number one is draft resolution number 2017-0-something in the matter of expressing no confidence in the U.S. Forest Service's management of catastrophic wildfire, or something to that effect, maybe. So I took a look at this. It's in our packet. It's great. I think it is a really cool start, kind of making a foundation for the argument that the Forest Service is just not living up to the expectations. Almost be an interesting question for the voters. Do you have faith in your federal agencies to be managing public lands in the best interest of the local residents? That could be a pretty good question.
Exploratory question. I think it'd be, you know, it might...
Can you imagine Walden standing up and saying
exactly
90%
of it? Certainly wouldn't hurt to have the results of that. You know, the just say go to all the counties in Southern Oregon that are, you think are affected.
I can't get anybody else to ask these non-binding questions. Maybe you can, Commissioner DeYoung, but nobody else does it.
Why not? Well, you know that you're right, because at AOC when I said something about that we had a exploratory question, they go, "What is that?"
Right.
Have they not ever heard of such a thing?
Probably not.
And I have been talking about it since I got into office. And this is our binder. I have asked a lot of questions. But I want to know.
Send a sample question. Is this something you would be interested in being putting on the ballot? You have a sample question.
Well, it's a little tangential to the effort. But I've asked for a best practices place on AOC's website about people doing... you know, creative things. But back to this question, there were people at the Forest Service's kind of after-action review thing. Very few were actually critical. And it's hard to be critical because you don't really know what happened in the deal. But I think what this does is say, I don't really care what this fire did. It's the fact that you didn't really manage to prepare for it very well. It's an inevitability that those acres are going to burn, and that there isn't a plan on the shelf for salvage harvest or roadside hazard tree removal. I mean, they said they're going to do it, but they've talked about that for a long time, and they never did.
Yeah, if you took a right-of-way and logged a right-of-way, you know, for roadside, say, go up the hill and down the hill 100 feet,
yeah, it's two tree lengths. There's already a prescription for
this.
It's two tree lengths above the road, and it's one tree length below.
I think it would go the other way, but two tree lengths below the road and
no,
one above.
It's very specific, because a falling tree has the potential to go a much further distance.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah. So it's a tree downhill.
Is going to go to the road.
Even if it goes to the road, it's one tree length.
It's done, and that's the part.
Yeah, it's fine. So anyway, I think this is a great start. What we should probably do is, I would think that there's a couple of whereases, I haven't come up with them yet, that we could add to this.
Okay.
And then, and get it, so let's readdress this on Thursday.
Okay.
And have it.
Can I keep this?
Forward.
Oh, by all means.
This is
yours.
This is a part of the
session
level?
No.
Yeah, you can keep that too, but.
Okay, all right.
I can actually provide a copy of Senator Bertschinger's draft letter.
Oh, okay.
That's a Thursday.
That would be helpful.
That was where I got the
He's got good stuff.
Fodder.
Oh, so
he does. I asked Senator Bertschinger which means I cannot be trusted with the numbers. So I got those numbers from Senator Bertschinger. They sound good. I looked up a couple of them online. I asked Sellers to confirm. In fact, I sent him an email. I said, I am relying on you, right?
Yeah,
you know, Sellers, right?
Yeah, get your boss.
Yes.
Sign up the leash.
Just make sure we're not quoting numbers that aren't correct. So anyway,
well,
I throw that out as a disclaimer.
Let's say that, you know, we have it's our understanding or something to that effect. We qualify the numbers because, you know, numbers could be coming in even still.
May not be all the numbers because it...
At least or to the best of our information, we've exceeded $340 million.
Current information says, because that could go upwards or downwards, so which says, gee, they don't have all the data in. It may not be $340 million. It might be $610 million.
Well, it might. And, of course, knowing how budgets work, you know, they could come back and say, yeah, but we were going to spend $100 million on standing operations anyway. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I don't
vouch for it. We don't need a digit, you know, to split hairs on it.
Yeah, just
I think the impact is the impact.
Broad expiration.
And what can they do? They go, well, wait a minute. Well, it wasn't $340 million. It was actually only $332 million. Right, right. You think that's good? Okay, I'll tear this all up. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and what did the lands generate might be a good, you know, it used to be that revenues exceeded costs.
Yes.
And right now, costs are far exceeding.
I'd like to split up $340 million.
Wouldn't that be incredible if we could invest that? I mean, I know that's the argument for the fire borrowing, that you're not pulling from the same pool of money to manage that you are for combating the fires. You know, $340 million as far as reinvested in this area for fuels mitigation and whatever go a long way. So it's a great start. Let's talk about it on Thursday.
Sounds good.
Next item on the agenda is State of Jefferson.
Mr. Bob Chard, who did the presentation earlier this year, contacted Commissioner DeYoung, and an exchange was had.
I ran into him out at the fairgrounds. I was driving the golf cart back and forth. Of course, State of Jefferson had the thing. I had to go buy it. Yeah, when are you going to sign that letter? When are you going to? So I pulled over and I said, you know, we had your presentation. We looked at it. We listened to it. And I said, you know, it was a discussion we're going to have at some point in time. Maybe we do want to send a letter that we would be the first one in Oregon to sign on to it. However, we have never picked up the baton. And I didn't know whether it would be something that the commissioner wants to open up again or put to bed forever.
Well, I don't think it'll ever be put to bed forever, but I think you could do a non-binding question or something to that effect of, you know, to the voters. That would be really interesting. I don't want to act on my own accord because I know there's a lot of people who look at it as kind of a silly farce, but, you know, it would be really interesting to hear what the voters have to say about.
Can we instead of putting it actually on a ballot, can we do a survey? Can we do a survey? These are questions that the county commissioners would like to hear from the people on. And not necessarily put it on a ballot, but put it just a survey out there?
I would do some research. Of course, you're talking about expenditure of public funds for such a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I would need to, before I could answer that, I'd have to do some research on what's permissible.
It'd have to be very similar to a ballot question anyway.
Because it seems to me like we've got a couple things that we're really interested in seeing what the people have to say.
It could go out in the November tax bill. Isn't it November, October? It's now.
It might be a bit late.
It's probably done. So... which is a really good question about, like, what are we doing to communicate with our, you know, constituents or taxpayers? Mm-hmm. We have never really coordinated, and I don't know if that's a shortcoming of the board or the tax collector, that we don't coordinate that communication.
When we did that non-binding, or the exploratory question on the ballot, that has to go through the clerk, correct? Because it's going on the ballot.
It has to also be checked off, you know, through the DA as far as being, you know, not advocating. It's got to meet all the same criteria, and I think that's
what... Maybe the ballot's the best place for that because that adds credibility to it.
It could be, though, if it were challenged.
It's an initiative.
It has initiatives.
But isn't there an element that the question needs to be fairly...
Absolutely.
The non-binding question can't be...
The Secretary of State has...
Yeah, it has to be very...
Can't lead you in one direction.
Exactly, nor can the explanatory statement.
It has to be written that way.
It's going to be impartial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we've been successful.
Yeah.
On those.
We might have been challenged once or twice, but I think they were upheld.
Yeah, yeah.
To be clear.
I think they were. And it's a collaborative process. It's not like I just show up, you know.
No.
Commissioner. Here's your question. Go ahead and stamp, you know, sign off.
Yeah.
The thing that I was bringing up was many discussions that we've got two issues that we'd like to hear from the public on already, and maybe there's three or four.
So looking at more of an efficient way to put it out there.
Yeah, if you had four, just say these are four questions that were really... considering,
One of the challenges with asking these non-binding questions is it's just a yes or a no. We don't really get to see, you know, which alternative would you like to see? Mm-hmm. And a survey would probably do that better. But, well, something to think about. And I don't, it hasn't been tried, and I'm not exactly for it because it starts to get into how do you maintain authenticity of it, that people don't, you know, flood your, it's like the sneak preview, the person who recruits his people to respond for their behalf usually does pretty well. That's not always a reflection, but yeah. The ballot, if you want a definitive position on a subject.
The ballot, I think, adds a lot of credibility to the question.
And it doesn't cost that much, you know, yeah. As far as what I think the information is worth. You're going to spend any other way to collect it, like a survey, you're going to spend way more than that, yeah, than just adding a question to the ballot. So it's about $1,200.
And really the credibility of your response is you're going to get response back from people that are actually taxpayers and interested in government and so on and so forth. You're not going to get the nutcase that just fills it out because he wants to. You're going to get the person that actually wants to take part in the process, in the system.
Well, and it's open to everybody who wants, yeah, to register, who's 18, yeah, years of age, who's a resident of Josephine County. So I think, mm-hmm, you know, that's the reason I've asked as many as I have.
In a survey, you wouldn't have that. You get anybody filling
in. And I'm not just interested in taxpayers either. I mean, everybody, you know, I don't own property other than my parents' place, but I still have a right to weigh in. Fill out a ballot.
That way you don't have to declare a conflict of interest.
Right. Well, okay, well, we'll work on that one in the future. Okay. As of right now, I don't have a definitive position of the people to say one way or the other on the state of Jefferson. I know there's a lot of passionate people for it. But that also wanes over time, depending on who's in office.
I think a response...
You know, how the economy's doing.
A response would be another thing, is first off, I don't think now is the time to ask that state of Jefferson about that beehive. We've got enough on our plate with the text amendments and things before now until the end of the year when the state's rules all come in on marijuana. I don't think I need to answer any more questions about the state of Jefferson. I'm on the phone all day anyway, is most of the time anyway. So I would just assume we'll have that discussion. I'm okay with that. It was brought up to me, and that's why I brought it up to you. And if there's any, we'll just say, well, you know, there's some interest in it, but, you know, not right at this time. We've got other things on our plate that really we consider more important.
Okay.
At this present time. So does that make sense? That one day we'll look at it again sometime in the future?
If we get another inquiry, should we send the inquiries on that? Should we direct them to... Should I field the inquiries?
Yeah, you can do it, or I can do it if you want to send it to me. I'm glad to say, you know, Joshua Friday, you got to see what we have on our plate right now.
Okay.
And these are things that we really do need to get settled out. You know, we've got a couple of programs going right now that when we get those done, we hate to get too many balls in the air, because if we do, we're not going to get any of them done effectively.
Wouldn't it be interesting to put that question out there?
And it would be.
Certainly would. You know,
well, you'd sure be marching up and down. It'd be different signs instead of no new taxes.
Well, I don't know that you can actually define it by political party or political perspective. I mean, there's a lot of people that would love an independent, you know, on both sides. So I know most of them are probably pretty conservative. But it changes. It depends on who's in office. Like right now, they may not have that big of an interest. But in 4 years or 8 years or whatever, it could be totally different. So... Well, maybe people have that interest because they want to be separate from the feds on the more Democrat liberal side. I don't know.
When people ask me, I said, you know, first off, you're going to have to get that past Salem and Sacramento, and that's a huge, huge hurdle.
Oh, I don't think it's ever going to.
I don't think it's ever going to come to anything. But
it would be interesting to hear.
You know, I think it gives people something to cheer for.
Yeah. Matters from commissioners. I had one. We had discussed this morning and it's in your office because you would help Mike. The Food and Friends program, looking at having an MOU with the purchaser, the senior center, to just that they're going to accommodate, whether it be at the existing facility or their senior center, something in writing fairly definitive that, that's part of it.
Do MOUs have a shelf life?
Often, yeah, often. They don't have to.
I mean, if we did that, you know, there'd be that they could have review it in 2 years, or
we could put a term on it.
You know, that's.
What is it that we're doing?
Some sort of a document that just gets the purchaser of the Josephine County building and CJ to agree in writing that they're going to accommodate the Food and Friends. What I don't want is for this transaction to be, you know, okay, well, we're going to sell it to you, and they're going to take care of the senior meal program is the one that it doesn't easily go somewhere else. It needs to be at the county building, or it needs to be, and I don't think it's a conflict with what they propose to do using the kitchen one day a week to heat up meals, or the senior center that has a really nice kitchen and stuff. But everything else, everybody else can go somewhere. The soil and water, I think they're moving to the coalition building. There's 5 offices up there, and she'd like, I need somebody to rent these to help, you know, cover the costs of everything. I think public health's moving to the coalition building. So it's kind of like the Food and Friends can't move up there.
Wasn't there something in their agreement when we sold them the building that they had to have, what was it? Was it Food and Friends?
It was public health, six months.
Public health was 6 months.
Yes, that's in there.
Why wouldn't we just amend that?
But not Food and Friends, is it?
Because that's where the agreement is.
Is it?
Well, that's where the agreement about the public health is. So why wouldn't we just amend that?
That sounds good.
Right.
Can we do that?
Well, if they agree to it, we can.
I think they already agreed to it. All we're doing is we're putting it down on paper.
I mean, if they don't agree to it, I guess they won't sign. Wouldn't sign them on either.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
So, okay, words to the effect. Okay, I think I get where you're going.
We're just looking for them to, you know, codify their intent to maintain housing the program.
Okay.
I would like to have some kind of a, you know, an end date on that if possible, so that Food and Friends can start looking for another location. If this goes on forever, and it will be forever, they're not going to go look anywhere.
Well, technically, I mean, I think that's really good because we're no longer owning it. I mean,
we don't own it anymore.
What if we had an MOU for 10 years or something like that?
We haven't deeded it yet, though.
No.
So I
that's why it's the time to talk about it. Right. Don't deed it and then be like, oh, well, by the way.
Did we hear back from Food and Friends? Because we did send that termination letter.
I don't know. Mike probably might have heard. I don't know.
I just don't want Food and Friends all of a sudden say, okay, we're there for perpetuity because we have an MOU that it does not have a shelf life on.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm wondering if because your termination letter urged them to contact the new owner, to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't heard from them at all. This came out of the ad hoc group of citizens of Cave Junction in the Illinois Valley who are advising me on advising the board on what to do with reinvesting those monies. And one of their concerns was, so where is it written or, you know, getting something a little bit more than
a lot of promises made.
Yeah, just a little like a handshake, oh, we're going to accommodate. The others, they'll find their spots. I'm not worried about them, but I am worried about senior.
Would it be worthwhile to see if he's already got an agreement with them?
Yeah, I think it could be. Yeah, it just has to be something so Mike can follow up. And
okay,
that would be great. That's all I had. Did you have anything?
No, I don't. Oh, I do. Like I said,
he does. Have
I don't know if I said that this morning. Rob Brandis says we're going to get back on at another wreck out there and on New Hope Road, and we're looking to realign that now.
Oh,
take that corner out of there, and Rob's going to get back with me. We've got Chuck working on it now as to what it's going to take to fix it this time, not just patch, you know, do patchwork of signs and stuff. We've tried all of that, and so I think it's time to make a bigger step.
Where is this?
This is on New Hope Road out by Phyllis Ray's property. She started calling me right after I got in office. She's talked to Rob Brandis forever and ever. I think she's talked to Commissioner Hare when he was the liaison. At her corner out there, she's replaced her fence 5 times since I've been in office. So I would say that it's probably a dangerous corner. We can't fix the behavior out there of the drivers. Can't do that. I mean, can't throw up spike strips or something, but But so we've got to, if that corner's a problem, we need to be looking at it to fix it. So Rob and I had a conversation this morning, which was just a follow-up on a conversation we've had three or four times, and he's going to get the fix together, and then we'll establish a price on it and see what we can do to see if it's something that we can afford to do, because we've really got to make a movement on that before somebody really gets hurt out there. Grave concern.
Okay.
And he'll be bringing that back to us, I guess, in the next couple of weeks.
We're going to be discussing on Thursday the expiration of development permits and building permits. Just why do they? I mean, I think there are reasons, but...
Can I bring something up?
Yeah.
I want to bring up the code to let you know that it is probably going to go out this week back up to...
To the contractor?
Are you not
agreeing with me? I'm just listening. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
That sounds great. If you want to take
off
the day?
I've been working at home
when
I can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about, we'll put everything on hold for a day. I'm not kidding. So.
Yeah, I don't think I need a whole day.
Whatever it takes.
I'm probably going to leave early today and try to get the final. Then it's just a matter of copying it and sending it.
Well, we'll be out of here soon. So that's great. I don't know if there's a nexus for legal on the permit expiration policy, but I would like to see that when somebody files a permit to build something, and then the economy goes through the tanks or whatever, and they have to wait a couple of years or whatever, their impetus to get it in a productive state is the fact that they're paying taxes on it, RR zone or whatever. They either have the luxury to be able to keep writing checks to the county and everybody else, or they don't, and they need to get whatever it is that they had planned into production.
Yeah.
But I frankly don't care, after they purchase the permit, whether they build it ever or not. Yeah. The permit is there for the intent. We don't go back and look of, are you really utilizing that building? Is it full? Storage units is what brought it to mind. I don't care if he ever leases a single storage unit. We don't have...
Private sector.
That's the private sector. I don't care what you do with it.
It's whether it's limited. Is our permits, like for instance on that, we'll take that storage.
Yeah.
They have a permit to build that. They never did build it. But is that transferable? If he were to sell that property, does the permit transfer with it?
I'll have to look that up. You want me to look that up?
I would love to see that because, the guy could say, I've got a permit on this thing and that adds value to the property maybe?
All right. Yeah, he doesn't have to build it.
Sure.
He doesn't have to build it. He says, I've got all the permits are all in line on this thing, but I think we ought to have something in the process to where every 2 years or something we call and say, how you doing on this thing? Just check up with him. I don't like the expiration. I think I have to concur with Chairman Hare about it. I don't know how Commissioner Morgan thinks about it, but I think that once you've gone, there's a lot of money went into that.
Yeah.
Filing that permit, you've got to have a plat, and I mean, you've got a sizable sum of money getting this thing all drawn up and elevations and so on and so forth. And then to just say, well, no, it's all going down the tank in 3 years or 2 years. You didn't do anything. Well, the economy turned, and I got sued or whatever. Well, that all goes out the tank, got to start all over again? I don't think so. I can't just settle for that. From the private sector, that's my private sector looking at it. But anyway, I would also like to see if it is transferable. Because if it's transferable, and the guy says, I bought this piece of property, and it's recorded that I have a permit on file for it.
Okay, for somebody who's patient, that might be worth its weight in gold. Mm-hmm. I'll go and buy a piece of property. I'll do all the permits. I'll do blah, blah, blah. And then somebody else is like, I don't want to deal with that junk. If you do it, here you go. I'll pay you for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Could be interesting.
Could be interesting.
Something we'll discuss on Thursday. Nothing further. Executive session. Item number four, A, is confidential memo regarding Paradise Ranch Resort and Golf Homeowners Association Incorporated versus Washington Federal Circuit Court Case Number 16CV24653 under ORS 192.6602F and H provides the authority for the board to meet in executive. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of executive session, we will welcome the audience. Open the doors and welcome the audience back into the room, and the recorder will now be turned off at 3:27. We are back in public session at 2:50 p.m. The board discussed item number 4 and are looking to move that issue forward as best we can. It'd probably be a follow-up meeting on the subject and inviting the respective parties to a meeting based on a confidential memo's recommendation. You concur?
I concur.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yep, that sounds the way we want to go.
Excellent. Anything further? Seeing nothing,
no, thank you.
I think we're adjourned at 2:51.
Okay.